Good afternoon, ladies, and good afternoon, gentlemen. Here it is, October 19th, Sunday, not just a football day, but the day after the largest demonstration in the history of the world. They're estimating somewhere between 7 and 8 million people just in the United States alone took place in the No Kings rally, and this took place all over the world, even outside my mother-in-law's nursing home. Old folks were sitting on the curb with their signs. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen. But imagine being the individual that comes out in response to this with an AI, with King Cankles, I call him, the incontinent autocrat, the incontinent incompetent autocrat, at the stick of an F-15. On the side is emblazoned the words King Trump. So his big bulbous ass takes off in this F-15 behind the stick. And what he does is he dumps a week's load of his Depends diaper on the United States citizens of America. This rings true in so many ways because from the time that he has taken office, he has been crapping in America's face. People say, well, you're Antifa. Yeah, I am. I was born Antifa. I've been a warrior my entire life. Antifa meaning anti-fascist. That means we don't do kings. We don't do dictators. We don't do people who rob and steal our God-given rights every single solitary day. I told you after that little initial clusterfuck that took place at Quantico that there would be field-grade officers that would be retiring. You had a Marine Corps colonel say, no mas, not doing this anymore. Just recently, a 4-star admiral, Alvin Holsey, I'm done. After, I think, 37 or 24 years, one was 37, the other was 24. This is a lifetime in service to this country who realizes that we as a democracy are in trouble. You sat and you listened to Pete Kegsbreath talk about how basically women are no good in the military. And he did everything he could to dishonor and denigrate their service. My goal today is to honor women's service. I got a special woman. I got an E-5 after 8 years in the United States Navy. This woman has served. I'll let her tell you. But the mission that she took part in, unbelievable. Her name is E5 Jessica Motzinger. You talk about bravery, you talk about courage. This woman embodies all of those. And she holds a DD-214. That DD-214 is that's your saying, job well done. That's that piece of paper that makes your life go around after you get out of the military. It's your key to the VA. It's your key to benefits, all right? And this young lady is a disabled veteran. Not only her, but members of our family are disabled by the same Camp Lejeune. I can't wait for her to tell you. So you hang in. Thank you for being... Oh, by while I'm thinking about it, if you would, drop by the website, CoverYourSixPodcast.com, please. Leave your thoughts. View other episodes of the podcast. This is my fourth episode, and it won't be my last, I promise you. There will be more to come. It will get better as we go along. There will be more people who will be sitting in this studio next to me. I promise you that. Or you can go to my email, CoverYourNumberSixPodcast@gmail.com. Send me your thoughts for show ideas. Send me your thoughts for people that you'd like to see on my podcast. And I will be deeply appreciative. All right? You hang in. I'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned before, it is my goal on this podcast to honor women who have served in the military. These are women who possess a DD-214. Now, for those of you who don't know what that is that measure of your service. It is your papers to go free as a bird. There's an honorable, there's a dishonorable, then there's a less than honorable. But this young lady has an honorable discharge after 8 years in the United States Navy. Welcome, Jessica Motzinger. Jessica, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, God, it's my pleasure.
Working on this issue.
Thank you. I'm so glad you consented to do this, even though I caught you and your husband on vacation. I appreciate you doing this. Tell me about, when did you join the Navy?
I joined September of 1995, right before I turned 18.
Why did you join the Navy? After everything you've heard, just out of curiosity.
I kind of had a complicated background. My father was Marine Corps, dropped out of high school. His father passed away during Vietnam. He was a Marine also. And so actually all three of my uncles that were left behind, they joined the Marine Corps. Two of them dropped out of high school and joined. But my father was EOD tech. And he was also in charge of the Marines at embassies and consulates, Marine Station Guard. And so we got to travel around the world in Pretoria, South Africa, and Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And then when we got back to Camp Lejeune, my mother had my little brother and passed away a few months after.
Oh my.
So I was with relatives until I graduated high school. And you kind of need a degree and parents to help you if you want to go to college, even with a ROTC scholarship.
This is true.
Yes. So this I found that out in high school and said, you know what? The Navy will push us through and I can get some college credits. It's three hots and a cot.
So you said, and I want you to explain because I understand the acronyms. You said your father wasn't, so military service runs through your family, but he was an EOD tech. Explain what that is.
In the Marine Corps, he was explosive ordnance disposal. He specialized in nuclear and biological. And at the time, not a lot of people heard of this term, improvised explosives. That was his specialty.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. How many
and
times?
He was at embassy duty, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
In your 8 years, how many times were you deployed?
Once, but it was quite the deployment. We actually went out with the amphibious ready group that the Cole was assisting at the time, the USS Cole.
Right.
In 2000, we went out and they replaced one of the ports we were supposed to go in because we had some, we call them secret squirrels, but they were a SEAL team, had come on board our ship because we were in LSD. That's a landing ship dock. We're able to have, we have a helo pad. We're able to store different things within the ships. They have a stern gate and they have like the entire loading. I'm brain farting on the actual terminology, but the well deck, that's what it's called.
Okay.
The well deck actually seep into the ocean where we can have LCACs, which are the hydrofoil kind of equipment that they'll fly on. And then we can have Marine Corps AAVs. Amphibious assault vehicles can go in there as well. And we happened to get, at the time they were called Gray Team, but they were out of Dam Neck. And they were the ones with the boats that drop out of planes into the middle of the ocean. Because if you remember correctly, back in 2000, we were looking for Milosevic.
Right.
We had all those issues still going on. And so because of our unique ability to carry this type of equipment, they kept us out there.
Roger
and
that.
Then the USS Cole went to Haifa. Well, they replaced us and they went down to Yemen and they were bombed within a few days of leaving us.
One of the primary reasons why I wanted women on this particular podcast was because of what I call him Pete Kegsbreath. but what Pete Kegsbreath had to say at that speech in Quantico and his denigrating women's service. Talk to me about that for a second, would you?
He sounds a lot like my father. At one point in time, I was a little girl and I wanted to be an EOD tech or a SEAL. My big dream was to eventually join Foreign Service, maybe work CIA. That all requires college degrees and other things. But you grow up wanting that stuff and they tell you girls can't do it. Just physically, there is something wrong with you innately that you'll never be able to change. You'll never be able to do the same thing that a boy can. And so growing up, I had no problem getting in fights with boys. I had no problem. I can outshoot most boys still to this day, even with my disability. I'm a damn fine marksman. I can hunt. I can process my own meat. I can do most things a man can do, but I'm proud to be a woman. And there's nothing wrong. I find being a woman is actually have more strength. And those kind of thoughts that Pete Keg's breath and Groper, you know, he is reiterating some stereotypes that they use against any kind of group of people that they want to just discourage or keep out. You know, there's nothing innately wrong with any person. And any good operator should be able to adapt and overcome whatever shows up. You know, it's the mission. You can get the goal done. And I promise you, I was a lot tougher than a lot of men that I worked on. Actually, on my ship, I was the first woman to be the lead firefighter for the main machinery room.
Outstanding.
And outstanding. I was in radio. I was in radio. So it's not like that was my forte, but I could not stand being in GQ and sitting in air conditioning. So, yeah.
You had mentioned something. Let me back up on. You had mentioned your disability. Can we talk about that for a second?
Yes. I am a third generation Camp Lejeune toxic water victim. Okay. My mother passed away from kidney failure and a bunch of other stuff after she had my little brother. And he was born with kidney failure as well. My grandfather was the first one stationed in Lejeune. Then he went to Parris Island and he was an instructor. And then he went to recruiting duty because he was supposed to retire in San Antonio when he deployed, volunteered to go to Vietnam. And he was killed. I always thought I was the healthiest person in the world. It was hard for me to get sick and everything. Mm-hmm. But I always had problems with blood pressure and different issues. And so I've experienced neurological issues. I have problems. I have damage to my spine from service and everything else. But after having my third child, I became eclamptic. I had a C-section. And apparently they didn't catch it, sent me home. And when I came back to the hospital, it was because the Vicodin wasn't working and my feet were gray and splitting. So I got gangrene on both my feet, all the way up to my shins. I'm blessed to be here. I'm a fighter. I can put up with a lot of crap. And I did. I was in Hawaii at the time in Pahoa and made it through because my husband was deployed. So
this very point right here is something that I want people to understand. Because you go into the military, you are completely whole. All right. Mm-hmm. Everything works. Your brain works. Everything's fine. You may not be quite mature yet, but you go in with a bright outlook and yep. then you survive what you yep. went through in the military only to come home and you still suffer. Not only for the rest of your life. And understand that now Pete Kegsbreath and King Kankles are starting to mess with veterans' benefits.
They've already canceled the women's clinic and the funding for the women councils. For my congresswoman, Representative Nikki Podinsky, she's on the Veterans Affairs Committee board. So that's important that we're at the table because it's not only Black maternal deaths that we're worried about, but if you actually look at the stats for military women, our maternal death rate and a lot of problems that we have reproductive health care is due to the toxins, environments, and a lot of times we do deal with trauma. I don't talk about my trauma that I had because I survived it and I beat it and it was acknowledged. And I'm thankful that it was never as bad as some of the other shipmates that I knew had it. And men mm-hmm. are raped too. Mm-hmm. Sexual abuse and sexual trauma is not limited to just women and men. Absolutely. Men hurt each other too.
Absolutely. So
that is something that I just have to put out there because it really upsets me. The very first time I ever saw how a command will turn on somebody, it was over sexual assault between two men.
I had a podcast. My last podcast was on MST. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like 2023. There were 39,000 500 cases of unwanted sexual advances on you know, soldiers. And right. and there was like a 3.2% prosecution rate. They said nothing about a conviction rate. And right. As far as I'm concerned, this is that little ugly stepchild that nobody wants to talk about that takes place in the military. Yes. And here you are having to deal with this after having three children serving this country for 8 years. You still have to deal with this.
And my husband retired, you know, that's the thing. And people need to take the sexual out of it. It's assault. It's a power thing. And again, it happens to men and women, and it doesn't matter if women are serving with men. The reason why it's horrible and the reason why it's unacceptable wherever it comes, those advances and everything else, is because that good order and military discipline is a very real thing with camaraderie. So it is a huge issue that we deal with. But I have to say, before Pete Kegsbrath came in, there was a lot of progress being made and recognition by the VA, because a lot of times you're not going to get it active duty. As we understand that catch 22,
yes.
The American military, they have done it finest catch 22. No matter what the issue is, they will find a way that you can't do it. And that happens with convictions.
Yes.
But that's a whole nother subject that I'm aware of with military prisons and how they relate to civilian non-disclosures and other stuff. But my issue now is all the progress they made. Our reproductive health care is now
at risk.
I can't say it's destroyed. It's been cut. Yeah. It's just been decimated. Yeah. And when I was down with Common Defense in May, the first week of May, we were protesting, you know, our VA is not for sale. So we were actually going up to the different senators and the different House Republicans that were on the Veterans Affairs Committee boards and asking them, will they support no cuts? Make it go before Congress before they cut anything from the VA. Well, their talking point at the time is there's no cuts coming. This is a hypothetical. There's no cuts coming. The reason why they kept saying that is because the cuts have already taken place.
Mm-hmm.
The people were already notified. And I was actually insulted by Senator Dan Sullivan, who decided to use my story of Camp Lejeune, because the Veterans Administration is actually taking care of Marines that are survivors and their dependents. If they qualify for certain things, I don't qualify for it, but I have my own lawsuit. That's a whole nother story.
Right.
But I have my VA care. But those people right now are being harmed. It's not just, you know, the VA clinics. And I had to tell him to his face, the rural clinics are getting cut. The Danville, the employees were already notified. Well, they're telling us this is a hypothetical.
Right.
He turned around and used my story as saying that the Democrats were holding up any assistance to veterans. As I'm standing outside the door, well, I'm not standing, I'm sitting in my chair. They take what you say and twist it into whatever narrative they want to do, which is essentially, if there's a pot of money anywhere, we're taking it because you don't deserve it.
Exactly.
And as a woman, you're constantly having to prove, like, you notice women will always give you their resume. Military veterans will always give you their resume. We're always having to prove that we're worthy of being not only in the room, but at the table and speaking too.
Amen.
And so that's what makes us great advocates, honestly.
Let me get your thoughts. And I mentioned this earlier regarding the clusterfuck that Pete Kegsbrath and the incontinent one had at Quantico. And I made the statement that officers were going to be retiring. A four-star admiral, Alvin Holsey, he was the commander of Caribbean Theater. He just retired because he cannot, in good conscience, work with or for Donald Trump. What are your thoughts?
Honestly, he did the honorable thing as an officer. That's
they
it. Civilians don't understand. We can't just like torch the building and walk out or something. This isn't, you know, waiting to exhale. We're not going to get some vengeance, or it's not, you know, we actually, there is a long tradition in history, and it has to have that order and discipline that is uniquely ours.
Absolutely.
And the only honorable way a person can do that, if they can get conscientious objector, that's one thing. But what he did by resigning his post and saying why was an honorable thing to do.
Yeah.
There's nothing else he could do.
No, absolutely not. And before him, there was a Marine colonel that did the same thing. And they will not be the last two.
No, they will not. And people who go after General Mattis, they just need to shut up. That guy, you know, he was probably the last one. And he did hold back a lot of stuff, we're finding out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting to the end here, but number one, thank you. I from the bottom of my heart, I thank you for doing this for me. And I appreciate and love the fact that you are family. As long as you hold that DD-214, you're family to me, you and your husband both. So understand that you two are part of an elite force, and nobody can take that away from you.
No, thank you so very much. And honestly, I have to say before we leave, and yeah, I hope that we see you again, and I will put you more in touch with more veterans from across the nation, because I have watched us since 2017, where I couldn't find another woman other than maybe a couple veterans. We are now organizing across the United States, from California to Connecticut to Maine to Texas to Georgia and Minneapolis. And this is history, and we're going to make history, and we're here for it. And so I look forward to seeing you again, because I know you're going to participate in this as well. But we're going to save this nation. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
This country. Yeah. So we're not going anywhere, and we're not scared of some drunk guy that is not qualified to sit in that position.
Amen.
So, yeah, may he hang by his thumbs.
Jessica, I promise you, we will do this again. If you gather the troops, and you have been an unbelievable representation of the strength and the courage that women have when they go into the military and afterwards, just through life, you are a leader, and I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you. I'm very proud. I've looked at your podcast and all of your online material, sir, and I'm honored to be here, and thank you so very much. And I look forward to bringing more people to you so you can get the word out, because we're out there all through history. So many brave souls that they have said don't belong there. We absolutely do.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, Jessica Badass Motzinger. You go, girl. The individual that I have chosen for this week's Ring of Honor is some kind of special. Her name, Lori Paestewa. She is a Hopi indigenous female who was KIA in combat in 2003 in Iraq. She was the first indigenous female to be killed in combat. She was a warrior, and she was a hell of a woman. So she is my recipient of this week's Ring of Honor, Lori Paestewa.
This episode's Ring of Honor member is Lorianne Paestewa, December 14, 1979 to March 23, 2003. Native name, Kocha Hanmana, was a United States Army soldier killed during the Iraq War. A member of the Quartermaster Corps, she died in the same Iraqi attack in which fellow soldiers Shoshana Johnson and Paestewa's friend Jessica Lynch were injured. A Hopi, Paestewa was the first Native American woman to die in combat while serving in the U.S. military, and the first woman in the U.S. military killed in the Iraq War.